This episode of the Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and it is Thursday, May 6, 2021, and we are continuing post-draft coverage all this week. And just as a quick reminder, we're going to have a mailbag tomorrow, so you still have time to get your questions in. Make sure you tag them, ask P Train, and tell me that they're for the podcast, or you can email them to lockedongiantspodcast@gmail.com. On today's show, we have David Turner back with us, who is going to go over the undrafted free agents. There were three undrafted free agents linked to the New York Giants. So David, a former NFL scout, personnel guy who actually has studied these guys and knows them pretty well, he's going to break them down for us and tell us what the Giants are getting in the three free agents, undrafted free agents, I should say. And they include Brett Hedgie, Raymond Johnson III, and Jake Burton. But first, David, let me welcome you back to the program. We get one more show in on the drafts content, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, you can't leave out the undrafted free agents. You know, these are the guys that honestly often make out the bulk of the team. And once in a while, you'll see guys make the team, and, you know, guys that, you know, maybe they were a little undersized, maybe a smaller school, what have you. And then all of a sudden they make the team and they start. I mean, I know a lot of offensive linemen and punters and obviously long snappers and linebackers that were undrafted free agents that end up being on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, and you know, let me ask you this, David, before we get into each of the three guys that the Giants are reportedly agreed to terms with. You and I discussed this previously, I think, about how challenging it would be for players who, you know, came from smaller schools or who weren't necessarily in the top 100, 150 prospects to make rosters. So that said, I mean, When you look at the three that have been linked to the Giants, were these guys maybe top 150 prospects that maybe fell out of the draft range, or you know, have they just done enough on film to really garner the attention from around the league?
You know, one of them stands out, as we were talking pre-show, to me as a pretty good player. And, you know, I think that he got overlooked, as well as a couple other of his teammates got overlooked down there at, you know, at the program. So I don't know if they were 150 player, but it's eerie how much Dave and I see similarities in prospects. You could totally tell that he's coached me up on what to look for and what to focus on. So, you know, Brett Hedgie to me is a player in which when I watched him all year in at the University of Florida and saw what he was doing behind, you know, in front of Trask, he never got pushed into the pocket. He never was one that gave up pressure. He was often making the right calls on the offensive line. He looked like a very intelligent player. He had a good base, good balance, good upper body strength. So this was a player that I thought was going to get drafted. I had a fourth round grade on him, thinking he'd go somewhere in there. Now, again, we talk one top 150, fourth round grade sits into that range, obviously fits in that range. Does obviously not everybody felt the same about him. I don't know why. Again, he's a guy that really anchored that Florida offensive line really well. So I think this is a steal here that they got him as an undrafted free agent. And like you and I talked about after the draft, we were like, you know, they still have to do some work on the O-line. And they, to me, they went and got a really good center here post-draft to help fill that, fill those needs up front.
Now, you know, Brett Hedgie, center from Florida, what does this mean for Nick Gates? I mean, Nick Gates is a guy they like at center, supposedly. You know, they signed him to a, I think it was a 3-year or 2-year contract extension. I forget how long it was for, but, you know, presumably to play center. Does this mean that maybe the Giants aren't as high on Nick Gates as a center and maybe they envision him down the line moving him to guard?
I think it talks more about the depth at center. You know, when you look at the depth at center, I'm not sure if Gates has a legitimate backup. I don't think Lemieux or Hernandez obviously can play center. They haven't pulled the ball from what I understand before. And I'm not sure who else on the team really has pulled the ball. I think Hedgie's sitting there post-draft. They were like, you know, let's go get him. Have a legitimate center, and Hedgie could play guard. I think he's a legitimate center. So for me, it's Gates' job to lose and Hedgie's job to come in and take. So it'll be a fun little competition there.
Could you maybe though see down the line, because, you know, I think we can all agree that the Giants don't have a long-term answer at right guard, even if they plug Will Hernandez into that spot. This is Hernandez's last year of his rookie deal, and I'm not so confident right now. Now, this is obviously subject to change, but I'm not confident that they'll re-sign him. So could you potentially see a scenario where if Hedgie has a good, you know, summer, where maybe he moves in at center and Gates, who I've always thought was a better guard, maybe he kicks out that right guard spot?
No, I can definitely see those chess pieces being played together. And again, like we talked about after the 7th round, it was like, let's see what Dave does. You know, he's still got more tools in his bag to go and address some stuff. And here's one of those tools that he utilized, which was undrafted free agency to get a legitimate center, a guy who started at, you know, a major program down at Florida. Can step in right away if needed to be, and the stage wouldn't be too big for him because obviously he played at a big school. And, you know, here we go, which, again, like you said, gives him flexibility to move Gates to guard, flop Hernandez over, put Lemieux in. It's just putting a lot of talent in a spot where now you're not – cornered into one scenario, one starting offensive line. Your coaches have some pieces to move around and see how they fit together so the puzzle can get, you know, put together correctly.
Why do you think Hedgie didn't get drafted?
I'm amazed. I don't know. I mean, him and his teammate Grimes, who was a wide receiver, when I saw them on the, you know, undrafted list, they stood out like sore thumbs to me amongst a few other players. And for me, everybody who listens to Maverick Sports Take all year heard me talk about how I loved Hedgie. So I don't know. There might be something maybe medically that I'm not aware of that I don't have access to. I can't imagine anything character-wise. I know their director or assistant director of player personnel really well, William Homer. And when I talked to him about his guys down there, nothing character-wise came up on Hedgie. So it might be a medical thing that I didn't know or I wasn't aware of, but I think playing wise, he's a steal as an undrafted free agent.
Where do you see his biggest strengths and weaknesses?
I think his biggest strengths is his balance, body control. I think his upper body strength is really good. As far as weaknesses go, it might be a little bit of range. Like, I don't know if he's got, and this is where I don't know if he can move to guard, because I don't know if he has the foot speed to play guard if someone lines up on his outside shoulder to be able to move his feet and get there. I think he's very good at assisting, helping, seeing stunts, twists, things come his way, and being a rock in the middle of the offensive line. I don't know if he can travel well with tackles and pass them off to in defensive tackles, that is, travel off and pass them off to the offensive guy and then redirect, come back inside and pick up a looping 9 technique or something. For me, the interior play, the phone booth, is where he's best. And playing center, to me, he might, and that might be why he fell, because he's a one-hole guy as we call him. He's just a center. He's not going to move to guard or be versatile other places. But here as a post-draft signing player, that makes a lot of sense for them to have a one-hole player sitting there that's good at that hole, just not versatile enough to draft.
Interesting. And that's going to be an interesting competition. The Giants, in addition to having Nick Gates, they added Jonathan Harrison, a veteran free agent, way back at the start of a free agency. So we'll see where he fits into the equation. But, you know, at the very least, you would think Hedging might make the practice squad if he has a solid training camp. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest David Turner of Maverick Sports Consulting, former NFL scout, former personnel guy. He's been with me for the draft. He was with me during Senior Bowl week. You guys know him. You guys love him. And we are breaking down the Giants' undrafted free agents, three of them linked to the team. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at offensive lineman Jake Burton out of Baylor. Stay with us.
What is good, Giants fans? Listen up. Nugenix is the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, and they're offering complimentary bottles to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT, D-R-A-F-T, to 231-231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass as well. There's a reason that Nugenix has been the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC for years. Simply put, it works. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape absolutely free. Just text DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Giant fans. This is Patricia Traina, host of the Locked On Giants podcast. If you're looking for a way to keep Giants football in the forefront during this offseason, pick up a copy of my new book, The Big 50 New York Giants, The Men and Moments That Made the New York Giants. This 350-plus page book takes a deep dive into the rich history of the Giants franchise, covering every era with stories, photos, and more that take you behind the headlines. The Big 50 New York Giants is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, TriumphBooks.com, and wherever books are sold. Pick up your copy today, and thank you to everyone for your support. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants Segment 2. Patricia Traina here with you, and I'm joined by David Turner of Maverick Sports Consulting, former NFL scout, did some work with the Raiders, the 49ers, the Giants, a bunch of places he's been. So we're talking 18-plus years of experience. The man knows his stuff, and we are talking Giants undrafted free agents. Now, to be clear, the team hasn't announced any signings yet. The team did acknowledge the media reports. And usually when they acknowledge the media reports, there's something to it. There's fire underneath all the smoke. But anyway, we're going to turn our attention now to Jake Burton, the offensive lineman from Baylor. And David, give us the lowdown on Jake Burton.
Well, Jake Burton, to me, is going to play guard at the next level. He's 6'6", about 312. He's got good long arms, and he's a player that was a grad transfer from UCLA and then went to Baylor in August of 2020. So, you know, he's a guy, I believe he played a little tackle at Baylor, but I think this is a transitional guy that's going to transition right into guard for the Giants. And again, at 6'6", 312, this is again, what Dave likes at guards. He's a big person. One thing I forgot to mention with Hedgie really quick was that he's just under 6'3", and he's 320, so that might be a reason why he fell a little bit here. This is a height-weight guy that, again, you go looking at and looking for him. He's got 23 starts, I want to say, out of 24 games at right tackle over at UCLA. UCLA. So this guy's got starting experience at a big school. He's a tackle from college that you can move into guard, probably get away with a game at right tackle to get out of the game if you have to push him out there. you know, it's kind of like Taylor, was it Moton that Dave drafted down in Carolina? This is a kid that's similar in his makeup and his build that can play tackle, can play guard. I know Moton for us in Carolina played guard early in his career, and then he wound up moving over to tackle, and now he's playing tackle for them, and he's a pretty dang good one. So for me, a versatile offensive lineman like this, where you got Hedgie, who's a one-hole guy who's going to play just center, this is a kid that can play guard or tackle, mainly right side of the line. And like we were just talking about, this could wind up being your right guard, kind of like Andrew was down there. Whitworth, I think his name was that. Now is it Jacksonville? You know, Dave found him out of Ohio State as an undrafted free agent, and now he signed one of the biggest contracts known to guards when he went down to Jacksonville. And this is a kid that fits that style, that mold, that 6'6", 315, 320 mold, playing at two big schools, Baylor and UCLA, and as a tackle, now pinching him in. Now, this could be the guy that we were just talking about moving pieces around to fit at right guard. This might be a natural fit at right guard.
Yeah, and we were talking about Andrew Norwell, I think, is who I think you're referencing. Yes, Whitworth went to the Rams, but yeah, so Burton, I think he played tackle in college. Just real quick, David, can you explain to the listeners why it just seems like so many college tackles are automatically shifted to guard at the next level? Is it because of measurements, skill set, a combination of everything? I mean, what's usually the deciding factor when a team looks at a guy's tape that has played offensive tackle and they say, oh, he's a guard?
Two things typically are the biggest reasons. First one is arm length. How long are your arms? If you don't have 34-inch arms, a lot of teams won't play you at tackle just because your arm length won't reach and extend far enough outside your frame to keep defensive ends off your body. And then you often are inviting them inside too far with the lack of arm length, where you have to lock them up and then you get holding calls and stuff. That was one of the knocks on the Oregon tackle this year, was he didn't quite have the 34-inch arms. So people were saying, oh, I don't know if he'll wind up being a dominant left tackle. That's why, you know, he slipped a little bit. I don't know. I think he was a heck of a player no matter what. And again, I was at the Raiders with Robert Gallery, who had 32-inch arms. And again, that experiment didn't work. Ultimately, we put him in at guard, and he went up to Seattle and played guard, and he had a heck of a career there. He just wasn't going to be a guy that with 32-inch arms can play on the edge outside. So, you know, that's the number one reason, is the lack of length to play at the next level with the arm length that you need to be a dominant tackle. Second is foot quickness, agility, ability to mirror and slide. Do you have the range to get to the wide nine? You know, because when those guys at the NFL level come off the ball, it's a different first step. And if you don't have the foot quickness and capability to kick and the range in your pass drops and sets to get back there and make the contact point away from your quarterback and then be able to sit into the chair and stifle power rushers and do all that, you know, it's unique traits to play that right or left tackle position at the next level. It's not easy to transition to. And so often what's better is taking a guard or a tackle, at the college level, that has good size, that's got good feet, that's got good length, and pinch them inside to play guard. And now they can transition in there much better. They have the body types, they have the flexibility and the arm length to play inside. So therefore, the measurables equal a better player moving them in, you know, to play there. It's like on defense, you often see guys moving. You don't see them moving backwards much. You kind of see them moving forward. So if you have a big safety, he moves to linebacker. You don't see a big safety moving to, you know, or a big linebacker or a small linebacker moving to safety often. it's often the other way, right? You have corners that might move to safety. You have defensive ends or defensive tackle or edge guys that get too big and they move in and they play three techniques, you know? So here, when you're playing offensive tackle, you often see them move into a guard or a center. You don't really see centers and guards moving out to tackle positions.
Getting back to Burton for a moment, where does he still need to kind of fill out in his game?
I'll tell you this. This guy was really interesting to me when I saw them sign him. I really saw a natural guard. You know, I don't think he has the range in his pass sets and steps to get to edge rushers at the next level. Though, again, if he has a tight end next to him, he could play the tackle position. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you need him to play tackle in a situational get out of a game type scenario, he could do it. He has a little help with that, you know, extra body out there. You can have a receiver pinch in, help him a little bit with a chip, stuff like that to get him out of the game. More so, I think his strength is his best asset. And therefore, when he gets hands on you, he's going to lock you up and keep you off his quarterback. I think he's tough. So strength and toughness are often two things that Dave talks about, obviously, right, with offensive linemen. So I can see why this is a fit for him. And that's why I'm saying this is a natural right guard in my mind that it could be really fun to watch develop.
Do you think the Giants now have enough on the offensive line? I know that's a loaded question, but, you know, because everybody says, oh, well, they didn't draft. But, you know, you look back and how the Giants added Richie Seibert, who was undrafted. They brought over Sean O'Hara from Cleveland, who went undrafted. Do they have enough now on the offensive line to where Giant fans might feel better about the depth than they did prior to the draft?
I think Giant fans should be excited about these two signings and the depth they created. Well, you know, and like you said, I think they've done a great job finding undrafted players that either developed at other teams and then they brought over on second contracts, or done a great job getting undrafted players and developing them themselves, especially the offensive line position. Are they done shopping? No. I think the June 1st cuts that are coming up, you're going to see a lot of players that teams are going to have to move on from. And I definitely can see Dave and the group, Ken Sternfeld and them over there investing in another veteran offensive line just to again, continue to create depth at this position and giving the offensive line group enough tools to develop, enough people to work with, so you're not locked into we have to's. You know, I mean, I think you have to play, obviously, Andrew Thomas, but are they really locked in at, you know, Matt at the right tackle? I don't know. Would Kenny Wiggins fit there? Would this new kid fit there? Would they maybe wait and see another veteran that gets cut, like I said, here on June 1st, that they're like, wow, if we really add this guy to the mix, our competition even gets better at the offensive line position? I think you're always shopping at offensive line because you can't have too many good ones. It's like pass rushers. You can't have too many good ones. So you just keep them coming as long as you can sign them and as much as you can go, you just keep them coming.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest David Turner. We're going to take a final break. And speaking of pass rushers, we're going to talk about the third undrafted free agent linked to the Giants, Raymond Johnson III, defensive end out of Georgia Southern. Stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, regardless of the sport or the major event. BetOnline also covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, offering real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you enter the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your sportsbook experts.
With the ever-increasing number of auto makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait for the counterperson to order the parts on a computer, usually choosing the brands that the store happens to prefer? Instead, take your search for your auto parts to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for all your auto parts and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpeting. Whether it's for your classic or daily drive, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know we sent you. RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. That's RockAuto.com.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment 3 of Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and I'm joined by David Turner, former NFL scout, personnel guy, and he's been doing an excellent job breaking down the Giant draft picks, the free agents, and now we are doing the undrafted free agents, which we cannot forget about, even though they're not signed yet. As we get a little closer to the rookie mini camp that the team is scheduled to have, and that those dates are the 13th through, I believe, the 15th. That's if, you know, the players show up. I don't know what's going to happen given the NFLPA seemingly encouraging their players not to show up, but we'll see if they do or not. Anyway, the last of the undrafted free agents that we know of that has been linked to the Giants is Raymond Johnson III, defensive end, Georgia Southern. David, what do you know about him?
So he again, the Giants have moved to that 34 front, and this is more in the mold of a 5'6" technique type individual who's, you know, 6 foot. I want to say he's about 6 foot four and 270-ish pounds. He's not a, I wouldn't say a quick first step guy. He's more of a guy who's, you know, going to take on and tie up blockers in order for the linebackers to be able to flow to the ball and make tackles behind him. You know, he's a guy that I can see he has a frame to get up to maybe 275 or 280 and really hold the point, create a new offensive line by, you know, pushing it back and getting some penetration, allowing linebackers more room to work and then come up and clean up the tackles. He's an interesting guy. I think he's more of a developmental guy. I don't see him being a make the roster first year. I think he creates some depth here behind Williams and Hill and you know, and Smith, who they drafted, and McIntosh. So I don't see him as a stand up outside linebacker. I see him more as that 5'6" technique who's going to be able to tie up and take on blockers and then work off contact.
In terms of, is he heavy enough to play like a traditional 3-4 DE, or is he more of an outside linebacker?
I think he's, you know, at 270, I think he's there. I mean, you could play at 270. If my memory correct me or if I'm wrong, but Calais Campbell came out, I think he was about 270, 275, and this kid's right in the same range. Calais is longer, obviously, and he has more length to him. But this is the kind of guy, in my opinion, that fills that role and definitely can, you know, again, just all his job is to take on blockers, tie them up, create a traffic jam, as Dave would call it, so your linebackers can flow over top and make tackles.
Where does he fit in, though? I mean, is he more of a strong side rusher or a weak side rusher?
I would imagine this kid's more of a weak side defensive end, because on the strong side, you definitely want more length and girth. But on the weak side, I think you could get away with a 275 type guy. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he weighed when he comes to camp, and what the, you know, coaches ask him to be is about a 275 guy. Now, where I can stand corrected, if I have him wrong, I don't think I do, but if I do, if this guy reports at like a 255, now they'll be looking for him to stand up, play that outside linebacker position, which would be interesting to me, because they kind of got a road jam there. They got a lot of those type of guys already on the roster. That's why when I evaluated him and I looked at him, I see that weak side defensive end type player for them in the 34 defense versus a standout side linebacker in a Sam or OLB. You know, they drafted the kid from Georgia. They signed the guy out of Minnesota this year. So to me, those guys fit more that outside pass rush stand-up guy that's going to get to the quarterback, in addition to others that they have on the team already, like Cam Brown and TJ Burson and Downs and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Now, obviously, the feeling is you can never have too many pass rushers, but you can have a situation where guys have similar traits and whatnot. So just in looking at the Giants depth chart at pass rush, do you see some overlap with the different players where you have, say, for example, two guys that basically have the same skill sets? And, you know, I know it's early and that you have to get on the field and have the competitions and everything, but who might you see as emerging as the early favorites to be part of that, I don't know, 4 or 5 man rotation that they might have?
Wow. You know, it's all on paper scouting right now. I haven't seen them, obviously, in a preseason game or on the field in uniforms playing together, moving in unison. You know, I really like looking at, though, if you had, like, I think we talked about in the 7th round, Williams and then either Shelton or Johnson, whoever was that out, and then Lawrence or Ellerson Smith, and then pairing those two or those three guys with Efidi and Aziz, mixing Blake Martinez and Lorenzo Carter, like those would be my front seven just on paper right now. And then you would have to see how the rest of them play it out.
Yeah, I mean, one thing's for sure, Dave added a lot of competition. I think you've got competition at just about every position, except for a couple. You know, you can make a case that there's really no competition at quarterback, although Daniel Jones is going to be competing basically against himself, I guess you could say. I mean, just overall, though, David, as we kind of put a bow on the draft coverage and everything like that, do you like what the Giants have done? Is there anything you wish they had done differently?
I think what Dave did in the draft, as far as moving around and collecting draft capital for next year and still getting the players he got in Kadarius Toney, Aziz Jolari, and, you know, Ellerson Smith, makes so much sense. I probably would have chosen Roundtree over the Arizona running back, as we talked about earlier, and the corners. I probably would have went a little different in what the corner position looked like for at the time of them drafting there. But again, I'm not ever going to sit here and criticize Dave. He watches the tape. He knows. He's the one who taught me. So if he saw more in these kids than I did, I respect that. We'll have to see how they compete at training camp. I thought a lot of heavy lifting was done in free agency, and I absolutely love that he signed guys to 2-, 3-, and 4-year contracts, looking for the long haul and not just like what the Texans did, doing a lot of one-year contracts. You know, he's really trying to build for consistent success there at the Giants. And what we saw this year was a great free agency class, complemented by a really strong draft and then another round of good, strong, you know, key pickups at the undrafted rookie position here. So for me, I'm seeing a very strong strategy by Dave and the Giants all together. And what they're working on doing is it works. Like you said, there's a lot of competition at a lot of spots. And, you know, in the NFL, you can't pay everybody. So with a salary cap in place, it makes it hard to have competition at every spot. But this is a roster that has competition at a lot of spots right now.
And competition, as they say, what's the old saying? Iron sharpens iron. So it hopefully will make for a better team, and we'll see how they all stack up. So, David, great stuff as always. You're probably going to get some downtime, I would think, before the next scouting cycle starts. But one thing we can maybe look forward to, if you're up to it, is in the summertime when the preseason games are played, maybe just have you come back and give us your take on what you're seeing.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you want me back, you know I love coming on with you and talking to the Giants fans and, you know, giving them a little perspective of what I can about their roster and everything else.
Well, we appreciate it. And before we say goodbye, tell everybody where they can find you and anything you have going on that you want to call attention to.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So for me, if you guys want to follow what we're doing at Mav Sports Consulting, feel free to come and on all our social medias at Mav_sports, whether it's Instagram or it's on Twitter or Facebook. We got Facebook. We got everything else going. We got a YouTube channel. We have a lot of things in the works coming up for this summer and beyond. So if you want to follow us, feel free. And again, if you're looking to help young men or women get ready for college or get ready for pro interviews or how to maximize and take advantage of the opportunities that are sitting right there in front of them, don't hesitate to reach out via any of the DMs, email, shoot me a text if you got my number. And we try to help out everybody who calls and who gets in contact with us and make sure that, you know, everybody has access. So I appreciate you, Patricia, giving us an opportunity to be on your show and talk to your fans. And again, if anybody needs some help, please don't even hesitate.
Well, all I can say is awesome stuff, and I appreciate all the help you gave us, all the great content, going back to the Senior Bowl, the draft lead up, just really fantastic material. And also, you know, you're with NFL Draft Bible. I think you've done some work there too. So that's something, especially those of you who follow me on Giants Country, you know, I referenced NFL Draft Bible, some of their content too, and David's been involved with that as well. So great stuff. David, I'm not going to say goodbye now, but we will talk again down the line. Thank you so much for the wonderful content. Giant fans, thank you, as always, for tuning in. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to do a special Twitter mailbag. Get those questions in as quickly as you can so that I can record the show. I plan on recording the show by around 6 o'clock on Thursday. So please get them to me, LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com, or send them to me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina and tag them AskPTrain and also say that they're for the podcast and I'll get them on the show. For David Turner, I'm Patricia Traina. Have a great one, Giant fans. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.